Good morning, Gloucester. It is Monday. We're in the negative degrees digits. What was it?
Minus three.
Minus three just now?
Now it's gone up to like two.
Minus two.
It's gone up 5 degrees.
Oh, it's plus two.
Yeah, plus two now.
It is. Okay. What are your coping strategies with this, the snowiest winter? Where are you all mentally with this? You start with Nicole. I'm going to introduce everybody. Nicole Schraft is here.
Good morning.
Donna Adazzoni.
Good morning.
and Mr. Effervescent Toby Peck.
Sniffles. Good morning, Gloucester.
Oh, he's
so cute. Sniffling.
It was minus seven when I got up this morning.
Minus seven for Toby. Yeah. I got up at 3:15 going to check, you know, on making sure pipes were not, everything was good and stuff. Oh, God. I'm not doing well. I'm not mentally in a good place right now.
What was the temperature at 3:15? Did you check?
It said negative five on my cell phone. I don't know if how good of an indicator it is. So what are you, where are you mentally? And
what are you in regards to the snow, right?
Right. And yeah. what
ready for McLean?
Because you didn't tell me we were having that conversation.
And what are your coping strategies if you're suicidal like I am right now?
McLean's.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I have fared the storms pretty well, I guess. It hasn't been, I mean, I'm over it. I was more over it a few days ago. Our street was like 2 feet wide, and you couldn't get in the driveway, you couldn't get out of the driveway, you couldn't get anywhere, but the National Guard came in and cleared everything up, so it was almost like starting over again.
Yeah.
2 days ago with this new storm, everything was cleared out. I've been lucky that Freddie's been home to do like the bulk of the snow blowing. The boys love to shovel the front deck and the back deck, so I'm okay. I just hate the cold. I'm just ready for it to be like 60 and spring and whatever, but I'm not.
So you haven't had to play any tricks on your mind to not be suicidal?
I'm done being cooped up in the house, but I have high hopes that we'll get out of the house this week. As a teacher, I'm over snow days. You know, I don't need any more snow days in my world, like behind in schoolwork. But I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
Don Adazzoni.
I like it. Sorry. I know.
That's okay.
I'm a pessimistic nightmare. That's what my kids call me.
Pessimist type.
Yeah. Like, because I say bring it on.
What is your mental process to bring you to a place where you say bring it on? You enjoy the snow? You like the snow visually.
I like the snow.
Is it a visual thing for you?
I think it's cleansing. I think it's...
Okay.
God, I'm sounding, making myself sick.
No, okay. All right, no, okay. And what else? Do you enjoy the shoveling?
I don't mind the shoveling.
You don't mind it.
I feel like Nicole does a little bit about, okay, I want to go out, so, and it's even hard to walk right now, so that's probably my only issue I have. I can't walk anywhere because, it's up to here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is, and you try to find different things to do. You clean your fridge, you clean your cabinet, you paint the bathroom.
Come to my house, you kidding me? I haven't done any of that.
Toby, tell about you.
Well, first of all, I want to wish everyone a happy President's Day.
Oh, there you go.
Because that's the day that we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I just roll with it. I mean, if you look out your window, it looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. As Donna said, it's all white. It looks clean.
It's
quiet. I mean, from that perspective, it's certainly great. I try to be understanding of others when it comes to the driving and parking situation. The one thing that is irritating to me is that people don't think about the ramifications of some of their parking, which really impacts others. And I think it creates some dangerous situations. And so that's an unfortunate. But generally speaking, I'm just rolling with it. I have certain routines that I've been able to maintain. A couple guys I get together with once in a while for a game of cribbage, and we haven't missed. That's a year-round activity, usually accompanied with a Guinness.
Ah, very nice. I am not mentally doing as well as you guys. I think I was doing good. I was like, I'm like teetering back and forth, and I was like two storms ago, I was like, I said, you know something? We're all in this together. There's no sense in complaining because, listen, everybody has to shovel. Mm-hmm. No one's immune to this. There's no, it's really, I'm tired of hearing people complain. And like anybody that complains, like they're just self-centered because everybody really has to deal with this. You're not alone. Like when you hear someone say, oh, I was out shoveling all night. Everybody's out shoveling all night, right? So I was there. And then two storms ago, shoveling out the driveway, the end of the driveway, and I totally understand and respect and appreciate the plow guys. Okay. What they've done is amazing. But I was like, my strategy for shoveling was, I'm going to go out every 2 hours, and I'm like, just clear everything and just keep up with it. But every 2 hours, there was a 2.5 foot snowbank at the foot of the driveway from the plow plowing all this kind of heavy compacted snow right back there. So by the end, so like then the snow had stopped. It was 9:30 at night.
Throwing rocks.
It was 9:30 at night, and I cleared out the base. The streets were actually, if you remember, the streets were bare. Mm-hmm. We had bare streets. The main roads were bare. It was down to pavement, and I said to myself, all right, it's 9:30 at night. I'm going to go out one last time, and we're not going to have snow till for another 4 days. I'm psyched. And I woke up the next morning, and it was 4 foot of real compacted snow at the base of the driveway, and there was like 8 inches of blown snow. It wasn't snowing, but the drifts, like...
So you were looking, what, for a couple rusty razor blades, drawing a warm bath?
That's exactly right. That was my breaking point.
Yeah.
That was my breaking point, and I'm like, I am so over this. I'm so over this. And so then I was in the shower yesterday. Visual,
thank you.
Visual for you. Everybody's like,
okay.
Can't unsee that.
Landscaping.
You forgot the drinks.
So I forgot. And I'm saying, okay, how can I mentally bring myself back from this? I was like depressed. I was like really angry, really bummed out, pissed off. And I'm like, okay, in my mind, I'm going to say to myself, okay, I'm going to look at it like it's a, I'm not getting to the gym, it's a workout. Mm-hmm. And that's where I try to put myself. And then the next storm came.
And you're back to
and the 15th I just, storm came.
And then I thought up the idea for this whole connect the dots with the mm-hmm. shovelers. The, you know, awesome. People that want shoveling, and then the people that, it was really depressing to me. It was bummed out. I was a little... driving through the neighborhoods, I didn't see a lot of kids out shoveling, and I remember as a kid, like between the ages of like 9 sure. and you know whatever 18, my dad didn't shovel. My dad never shoveled. We shoveled. Kids shoveled.
Absolutely.
That's how it worked. And now it seems like the kids today, they don't want to shovel, or they could make some good money. People are desperate right now. And I'm not saying anybody should gouge anybody, but you could go out. A kid could probably make themselves easily $100 with like 3 or 4 hours of work, right? And you're young. You could do that kind of work. And so I'll put that thing together.
That was awesome.
I think it's great you did that. I think one of the issues is getting the kids to the places that need a lot of shoveling.
Yeah, well, I think that the amount of snow we have right now is just so extreme. Like, I mean, Thatcher and Finn are a little bit too young for that anyway, but we live on a really quiet, safe street. So, like, a couple more years, no problem. Like, they would go door to door. We definitely have some, we have a good mix in our neighborhood of, like, older people and summer people who aren't there right now, obviously, and then families. But I think right now the fear, like, every time the boys go, they shovel our front deck, they shovel the back deck, they shovel the stairs down in the backyard, and then they get to play. But every time they go in the front yard, even on our safe, quiet little street, I tell them 80 times, like, don't go in the street side, because I'm so afraid a plow is going to come by and take off. I mean, it's horrible.
Or somebody
take off the leg
that's
or
not
something.
Paying attention.
Yeah, so I think right now the thought of, like, kids, even teenagers walking down the main road to go door to door is harder now than, like, your average snowfall.
And I also
so maybe that's it.
The wind, too.
No, a lot of
like
kids.
Like, yesterday, the wind was in... I mean, I fell a couple of times just... You know, crossing the street. And
well, you weigh 85 pounds, so what?
But still, I think that's an issue for parents.
When you were younger, Joe, there weren't as many people that had plows on their trucks. people didn't have some of these fancy high-tech commercial snow blowers that they, I mean, homeowners have the ability to deal with this stuff quite a bit differently than when we were younger. Part of the reason why we all basically had to shovel is there was no other technology that was within our grasp. I mean, nobody in our neighborhood had a fancy
snowblower.
There were some. I remember we had one. It was so rudimentary. It was probably slower than shoveling.
And most
of the plows, a lot of the plows, you know, guys that had plows on the trucks, they weren't very maneuverable. They certainly couldn't can't and articulate mm-hmm. the way they can now. It's different.
I
think so too, and I also think that when we were kids, there weren't as many cars on the road, so
they weren't giant SUVs at that.
Right, you know? And when I was a kid in Somerville on Porter Street, they didn't even plow Porter Street from the Summer Street down to Elm Street. What they did is we used to sled. We used to go coasting. we used to call it coasting. We didn't call it sledding down because they didn't even plow. So I think that. You know, we were a one-car family for many years, so there wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we know you suffered when you were younger.
I was wicked suffering.
Uphill both ways.
walking to school.
But that thing worked out well, though.
That's awesome.
I think it was a great idea.
It was a really good response, and as the day progressed, I think, like, you know, I was like, there was probably like 15 people initially that sat, like, there was two people that said they would shovel. And then there was like 15 that need shoveling. This is like early in the day when they're still kind of blowing hard.
Right.
So I don't think people were ready to go out and do anything anyway. And then when the sun kind of came out, like, I was getting all these people willing to shovel.
Right, that's awesome.
And then I was sending out one. As the day went on, I kind of refined it a little bit. I made a list by neighborhood. And instead of just sending one person's name to each person, at the end of the day, I was sending out the whole list, and it was all.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out as a reader, because I didn't fill anything out. I thought about sending Freddie out, but he's got a bum arm right now. Anyway, he can't, you know. But anyway, I couldn't tell how you were matching people up, so I was wondering. So good.
Well, I had one of the form entries was neighborhood.
Right, yeah, and then it said shoveler or
shoveler. Yeah. So at first it was a little chaotic. I had to go back through emails and match up everything.
Yeah.
But as the day wore on, then I'm like, I gotta make myself a spreadsheet. I made myself a spreadsheet, and it worked out really well.
So how many people?
Oh, good.
How many people
Kim Smith shoveled her way out. She's gonna join us, which I'm really happy about. I initially didn't think she was gonna make it. How many people?
How many people do you figure?
I think there was about 50.
Thanks to that, nice.
Wow, that's
about 50. Yeah.
Well, I think even maybe the downtown merchants could use a little.
I walked the walk. I actually hired a couple of kids.
Nice.
Come on in, Kim. And they were. I probably overpaid them.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I was happy to, because they were such nice. Kim, you don't have to be quiet. Come on in. Close the door. You can slam it.
He just announced you, so now you have to make an entrance.
We already announced
you
that you were coming in.
She brought some lobster risotto for us.
Truffles.
The truffles.
Yeah,
I ran a truffle.
Pull up a chair, Kim. So yeah, anyway, it worked out really well, and
awesome.
Now that I have it refined, and I think we could do this. You know.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I was happy.
You can use
it.
The same thing in the summertime when people need someone to do spring leaf pickups and mowing lawns. And
well, you know what? I don't want to take business away from landscapers.
No,
but in this instance, there seemed like I talked to a lot of people. There was a lot of older people, and there was a lot of people that could not. Like, I called some snowplow guys to get some work done, and they couldn't even.
Yeah.
They were overbooked.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't a case of taking over people's. Or anything like that.
To go back to your, you know, how are you faring the storm? I'm totally lucky that I, you know, as a teacher, I get the days. If it's really bad, I don't have to go to work. You know, but I've been thinking about the people who we had a couple. a couple other teachers I was talking to were kind of grumbling on the days that we had a delay or we didn't have the day off, that other schools had the day off, but being a private school, we don't have buses and bus stops and all that. But every day, long story short, I thought of the commuters who, you know, businesses mm-hmm. don't close. So when it's really bad, they have to get on the train. If the train is running, they have to get into the city. And my heart was out to those people. If I were in that situation, oh my God, I'd be totally done. But I'm lucky that...
Speaking of the... Kim, don't hurt your back. Speaking of the commuters, now, what I don't understand was... I didn't understand this outrage over, like, the job that this MBTA lady was doing. There were people stranded on the T the day before. It was a storm of unbelievable proportions, and they decided to shut it down. Now, I feel like she was in a no-win situation where if they ran the things and more people were shut down and stuck on trains for 2 hours and they had to bust them around, I think they made a good decision. Yeah. And I don't understand. Like, these were extreme situations. Like, okay, so...
Part of the outrage is a question of the monies that they've made. What are they spending
it
on?
That's...
Are they spending it on trying to expand, or are they trying to spend it on...
provide a good service.
Right, what they have. And I think that's... People don't understand there's a bit of a backstory. And our governor, who I think has handled himself remarkably well considering mm-hmm. all the crises, I'm not saying compared to anyone else, but, I'm just saying he's done a great job. You know, he just said, look, if we're telling people not to drive their cars and certain people have to, they're essential key personnel, whether it be hospitals or, you know, they're custodial people where they have to keep the pipes warm enough or the water running. They have to have a way to get these people to work. And his point was, we have to do this. He wasn't saying, fire her, but get her out of here. I think he was saying somebody or some decisions have been made that were wrong, and we have to address it now.
And I don't think it goes just to her, Beverly Scott. I've been riding the Green Line since many years. Sometimes I get on it and I think it's the same train I rode when I was 10. Yeah. So I think that they have improved the trains. It's not so much her fault, it's just...
Well, there's something somebody said, like the debt service for their retirement packages is so, like, outrageous that it's mathematically impossible to pay these people. So they're up against that.
And the trains are on, most of them are outside, especially the Green Line, through Coolidge Corner and all that. What are you going to do? They would say, well, Chicago doesn't shut down, but they have elevated trains.
Yeah.
They're above the ground.
I see, yeah.
You know, they're way above, so the snow falls down. Right. But you go down...
And New York is all underground.
So, I mean...
Whatever gets done, I think what Governor Baker and certain others are saying, this has clearly held a mirror up to... You know, the situation, if you were unaware, it's pretty clear now. We've got some issues. We've got to address them from here on.
Yeah.
And I think that's all he was doing. Just
I'm not pointing a finger at him. I was more talking about the outrage on Twitter. Like, you know, like people saying that, you know, the MBTA sucks or this, that, the other thing. It's like, I can understand your frustration if you get stuck on a train.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like you're in a no-win situation. You shut it down because it's not safe, or people are going to get stuck places, or you run it and it fails, and then they're a jerk then. You know what I mean? A jerk either way. And
I think a lot of people are complaining more on the commuter rail because that's a fairly new train. Mm-hmm. You know, I call it the purple line. It seems to be a lot of people were complaining about that, and I used to take that commuter rail, and I know that sometimes you at, you know, North Station, and it's like, where the heck is it? And then it can't get out because of, so I think a lot, because I know people take that commuter rail, and they're like, okay, 2 hour delay.
Well, this series of storms has definitely highlighted that if we're going to be a society that doesn't depend upon our own vehicles, if we want to make the mass transportation system better, we better start looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep.
Kim, I wanted to do a shout out to the kids that shoveled me out. Jack and Colby Kelly. They restored my faith in the youth of America. 9 and 11 years old. Their dad is Jeff Kelly. And
that's great age, because they're old enough to do it, but they're not old enough that they already have jobs.
And they were huffing and puffing. They were working hard. They earned mm-hmm. their money, and it was. But even better than that, like when I spoke to them and stuff like that, and asked them, you know, they were incredibly respectful and polite and well mannered, and the way they spoke. Their dad, Jeff Kelly, kudos to you for doing a great job with your children.
I missed the beginning. Did more snow shovelers come along? Shovelers?
Quite a few. Oh. Yeah, there was. As the day went on, more and more people came online, and it really matched up. Now I asked people to let me know how it went, and I got most of the feedback I got was very positive.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's great.
A quick thing, the Bikini Speedo Dodgeball Tournament is on. We moved it back. We were going to have it March. We're going to have it March, the middle of March, but we don't think that you're going to get down to Camp Spindrift. So we moved it to April 12th.
There could be snow on the ground.
Yeah, there's going to be snow still in March.
But
Fiesta might have snow.
It might.
I'm worried my daughter's wedding is going to have snow.
And that's in June.
June 20th.
Late June, yeah. Not during the Fiesta, though.
Yeah,
before Fiesta.
Of course, we planned it before.
Right, of course.
And many of the guests are actually staying through Fiesta.
Well, it makes sense. The best time of the year, Fiesta through 4th of July. Best 2 weeks of the year in Gloucester. So I'm going to just explain a few things about the Bikini Speedo Dodgeball Tournament, what's different this year. The first 10 teams that get their money in are getting a first round bye out of the 20 teams. And each player is getting a hoodie this year. They're not doing dry fit t-shirts, they're doing hoodies. And I want to give a quick shout out to Rick Dowsett at Camp Spindrift and the Cape Ann YMCA for all he does and for hosting us this year.
He's hosting, you are not hosting this year.
It's at their place. They own Camp Spindrift.
Oh, okay. All right.
They had it there a couple years ago, too.
Oh, excuse me. I'm getting confused. I'm an emceeing. Who's emceeing?
I'm emceeing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to be running it, and it's going to be the Farm Bar and Grill.
You do an awesome job.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, as long as you don't get hit with the ball. Melissa Cox and I, boom. Both of us got Wilsoned, we called it. Yes, Castaway.
While you were photographed.
Yep.
I'm glad you came, because there was a specific topic that I wanted to bring you in on, and it had to do with wildlife and stuff like that. And you may not know this. I might be putting you in a different corner that is not really your area of expertise, but maybe you do, because you know probably more about wildlife than anybody else here. Okay. So Pat Morse lives out on Eastern Point, and they sent photos. They live, you know where the lighthouse is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, if you go from the lighthouse to the left.
You're standing facing the lighthouse.
You're facing
from the parking lot.
You go to the left. There's that row of houses that you can't access from that road.
Right.
It actually comes in from behind that. They live there.
Okay.
And it goes down to the water. It's all rocky and stuff like that. He sent me 3 photos of a pack. It's on the blog now. You probably haven't seen it yet. It's on the blog right now. Of a pack of coyotes all together.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really awesome photos.
Yeah.
Really awesome photos.
That's very unusual to see them in the daylight like that.
Well, they're hungry. They're very, very hungry.
So here's my point. And here's my question to you. You may or may not know. The snow pack that we have had.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, 4 feet, any natural place that's covered with snow is at least 4 feet of snow right now. Where do these coyotes go and den or nest? Do they continually just kind of dig like a hole for themselves to live? Or do they just sleep on top of the snow? Or what at night, when they're not roaming around, where do these coyotes go?
I can't speak to that exactly. My understanding, as far as I know, is that they have dens under the snow and in thickets and stuff like that. So like Dogtown is a great area for them to have a little den. Ravenswood, you know, there's a lot of wooded areas around Eastern Point. So,
but as the snow is coming, what do they do?
They just maintain keep, it the way they you maintain it
as it's going on.
That's my understanding.
Right. Oh, you have an idea about this?
Yeah. Yeah. I know a few things.
Well, go ahead.
That's my that's my understanding is that they continuously maintain their own den in their own area, and then I think if at times like this they need to travel further to get to their food, that they might do temporary housing along the way, but they return back to their.
I think they're in Rafe Chasm too, because we can hear them.
Well, they're definitely in the sanding fields. They're definitely in there because that, like that, in the pines. Like we hear them, like Harriet Road, Grapevine Road. You hear them. You know exactly where they are all summer long. They're yipping and howling, and
Did you watch that special on PBS? They have like infrared lights on them. They are everywhere. They are like on every suburban street, everywhere.
We had one walking right down Smith Road about 2 weeks ago.
Like my certain nights, my dog won't even go out into the yard to go to the bathroom. Like I'll open up the door, she'll get a smell, and I can't see them, but she can smell them. Mm-hmm. So they are everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, so. I get that they're everywhere. Yeah. I just... My curiosity is with 4 feet of snow.
Yep.
What are they doing?
Are they hungry?
I imagine where we live right now. Like so we have the ocean edge, which you know gets washed and stuff like that, and all those rocks and stuff like that. There must be. Do you think that they eat like seaweed and stuff like that if they're really desperate?
They're carnivores, so I don't think they eat seaweed. But I mean, it, maybe they would eat mollusks and things like that because you know what? I used to see fox all the time along when we had fox before the coyotes kind of took over their habitat. We had fox all along Brace Cove, and I would see them along the shoreline hunting. So I imagine that they were eating mollusks and things like that. So
we have fox. But they go under my rhododendron. The fox does. I see in these the deer.
These were the coolest photos of coyotes that I've
very cool
that I've seen to date from
gorgeous.
Our area.
They disappeared for a little while, so I was worried that they weren't on Facebook. A couple people wrote that they couldn't get the lake, so I went on and it wasn't on Good Morning Gloucester for a little while. So I was like,
"Oh no, what happened was
not accurate."
No,
like,
what I did what I did was I scheduled it for 8:00.
I
wanted it for 8:00 this morning because I like the 8 a.m. to be a really. I always try to put a real solid post right there. And what I did was I scheduled it for the same day, so it had back posted. So it would have been at the bottom of the blog last night. People would have missed it.
Yeah.
So I rescheduled it. So when I posted it, it automatically goes to the Facebook.
Off of Facebook, right?
Yeah. But when I rescheduled it, so the link. Was a dead link.
Whenever that happens, I just delete it. I just go to Facebook and just delete it from the Facebook page.
I probably should have.
Yeah, just delete it and that way.
I don't have access to
it. That way then it doesn't confuse people. Yeah. You don't have access to your Facebook page?
No, Felicia has the...
Can you do that? I don't know. Can you delete something from the Good Morning Gloucester? This isn't really a fun conversation.
No, you can't get to it.
I can't either. But from my own
Facebook
page, I can just...
Well, so I was afraid that maybe they weren't... I thought that maybe they weren't accurate photos, but then I looked and I'm like, no, that's Eastern Point. So I thought, but so I'm happy to hear they were true photos. They're gorgeous.
I thought it was very cool to see them like that because I'm a big, I think the squirrel is wildlife.
I know,
so,
right? But so sad. They are so hungry. I hate to see
them. Well, that's why I've been putting out grapes and things like that, and I noticed that the deer are eating the grapes.
Oh, how cute.
They're survivors, though. I mean, those things are survivors.
But I do wonder.
Deer
die a lot in the wintertime, especially in a winter like this. Like, you could really see,
talking about the coyotes.
Oh, the coyotes.
The proliferation of those things. We could use a little thinning of the coyotes.
I don't want to say it.
But it's natural, so all the nature freaks should not flip out that natural selection that they thin out.
Right. Well, yeah, because no one's taking...
Yeah, we're not. No one's killing them. No one's poisoning them.
I don't want that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, a couple...
The nature freaks, huh?
I'm a nature freak.
Would you like a chocolate too, darling?
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Kim, those are hot chocolates, too, if you want.
Thank you. They have nuts.
We should note that Nicole, I put out an email to all the contributors saying that we're going to do the podcast today, and I'll bring peppermint schnapps if someone wants to bring hot chocolate. And
so I brought hot chocolate.
And did you forget the
Nicole brought like seven hot chocolates, and I forgot the peppermint schnapps because I was in I was in crisis mode this morning.
So I almost went home.
Trying to make sure.
I'll stay anyway. Because Joey and Toby will have you think that I'm looking for the schnapps.
I'm sorry, I piled on.
Yes, you sure did.
Nicole's drinking problem.
No, I know Nicole doesn't have a drinking problem.
Well, thank you for that.
It needed clarification, obviously.
I don't drink anymore.
I tell you,
myself,
every time you say that, I tell you, my head of school, Paul, listens to these.
I don't drink anymore.
I don't need any more of that.
So this is hot cocoa in
it
here?
It is just hot chocolate.
So, okay, we've got to get back on track here.
Sorry.
Focus.
Nature.
Focus.
Nature freaks.
We're done with the nature, and we're on to the ruination of Western civilization. And two separate incidences in the past week of lawmakers going out of their way to ruin the American culture as we know it. The first one is, leaders in Dubuque, Iowa, voted Monday night to ban sledding to protect the city from liability in the event someone gets hurt sledding.
Oh, my God!
It happened in Massachusetts, too, in Raynham Middle School.
Oh, at the school?
That was a certain place.
That was a certain place.
It was
but
dangerous.
But the other place was...
A couple of years ago in Boston, because my students wrote a letter to Deval Patrick, they were talking about making it a law in Boston that children had to wear helmets while sledding any public place. And that was probably like 4 years ago. I don't know what happened with that, but we wrote a letter. So it's been an ongoing... For the last several winters, it's been a hot topic.
Well, when I was a kid, we used to go... in a place, it was an old golf course, and first day down, one woman broke both legs on a toboggan, hit a tree.
But she was laughing.
We were having a ball.
That's right.
Until she was screaming. But, I mean, the Raynham was, I think, because it was a very, it wasn't a very safe area. But, like, Stage 4 Park is awesome for the kids. Just, can you imagine that happening here?
I think they use part of the golf course, too. There are a couple areas of the golf course.
But the parents all stand at the bottom of the hill
and
catch the kids because they're straight.
Is this crazy, though?
It's a little extreme.
Is it crazy? Is this overstepping government's boundaries?
Trying to save us from ourselves?
I think parents should make their own decisions.
That's exactly
to whether
right.
or not children should sled and what they should wear while they do so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a law.
It's like, what's next? It's like... every single month, it seems, we're getting more extreme with, like, are we going to have...
More and more health.
Are we going to have, like, bumpers along every sidewalk, where every place where we walk, do we have to wrap our kids in bubble wrap? You laugh about that.
I agree.
You laugh about that.
It's crazy.
But like every single thing, you walk out of the door and you could trip. Okay, so we ban walking. Look, what is?
It's responsibility of keeping your kid safe because that's your number one thing. But when your kid breaks their arm at school, so you're not going to have them go to school anymore? I mean, my daughter broke her arm at school. When she was 10, so what was I supposed to do?
Sue the school.
So how?
That's happened before.
But really, at the root of it, that's what's leading all these laws. Mm-hmm. And it amazes me that we still have the greasy pole because we're one lawsuit away from losing. We're one lawsuit away from the greasy pole.
Yeah. I felt really good to find out that Brian Williams had walked the greasy pole last year.
Oh yeah, Jay Abbott's photo.
No, but I agree. This hovering over your children, I mean, we hover over our kids in our head, but we don't physically. I didn't physically hover over my girls.
Well, I think parents can physically
hover over
their children. I don't think the government needs to
hover but I mean,
over
I didn't hover. I mean,
children.
I just,
helicopter.
In your back of your head, you're hovering. But physically, you got
to
let
them. They can't eat hot dogs. They can't walk to school. They can't.
Well, maybe if we taught our children how to walk to school properly, how to chew their food properly, we wouldn't have to have
you know,
a rule.
So when you try to manage every decision and so you take decisions out of people's lives, you take responsibility out of people's lives. So
they're
you know
helpless.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the kids should get run over. And this
is
going to sound preposterous. But like a kid gets run over, you hear about someone got run over, maybe everybody takes a little bit more careful watching their kids cross the road.
Mm-hmm.
Personal responsibility.
Or teaching them that you cross at the light. You
know, I mean, right down the line. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, bad things happen. Okay, so you readjust. You're like, you can't coddle every and manage every single movement of every single person every single day. It's insane.
It is. And then your children don't learn how to be kind of a little tougher, and they don't learn
to... Which leads me to the next...
To take the bumps.
Take the bumps.
The next piece of Americana that's being taken away from us, Montana state lawmaker pushing legislation that would ban yoga pants and Speedos in public because they give the realistic appearance of certain parts of a person's anatomy that should count as indecent exposure. Republican David Moore proposed a bill.
Aren't yoga pants kind of baggy?
No, they're not baggy.
Oh.
But here's the...
Like, I might be
the yoga pants I wear.
So when I go to the gym, I can't wear my yoga pants? Because of my show things? That's insane.
What? This is how insane.
Was it a law proposed or did it go through? Was it proposed?
No, I think they picked it. They took it down. It didn't go forward.
If you're at a business meeting, I don't think you're supposed to have yoga pants on.
But this lawmaker, right? This guy, this David Moore, this what is he? State lawmaker. I didn't even want to bring that into it. Because that becomes like, you know, whatever that person, he was right to do it. But
we could just assume it, Betty.
No.
So the idea is what makes this guy ineffective and obviously out of touch is that there's one thing that men and women can agree on, and that's, like, women like to wear yoga pants because they're comfortable,
mm-hmm.
right? They actually like it. So women aren't offended by it. Men like to see women in yoga pants. So this guy took the one issue out of all the issues in the world.
Yeah.
He took upon himself to bring this.
To save us from ourselves.
To save us from ourselves when everybody universally likes it.
Yeah.
So and did you think he just threw Speedo in just to be like, you know?
So it wasn't just women.
So it wasn't just women. He was like,
so Speedo has been worn in
Europe. Because as a woman, I can say I'm not in love with Speedos. So
yeah.
With the yoga pants, you say we both agree, but I'd be okay. I saw a really funny clip last night with a couple getting married on the beach, and they had their videographer filming the ceremony, and right behind the couple getting married on the beach, this older gentleman came waddling down and, you know, disrobed and threw down a towel, had on a Speedo, and then slowly walked into the water. And I was like, no! You know, so go ahead, get rid of the Speedos, but keep the yoga pants. I want his phone number.
In Massachusetts, it's like one out of, like, you know, 5,000 people wears a Speedo. But if you go abroad, but you know what? In Italy, when I was in Italy a couple years ago, there was actually there were Speedos. But they weren't what, like, you picture, like, all Europeans all wear Speedos. That wasn't the case.
No, I mean, and that's their garb. I mean, you know, that's what they wear for their bathing suits. It's like...
No, not all of them
wear them. No, not now as much, but when I went to Europe, I remember that's what men wore. It was that they didn't wear beach boy surfer pants,
not
you know?
Not a good look.
Not
exactly. Early on in the blog, when I was a little bit more racy, every time I went on vacation, I would take pictures of... I take pictures of people in Speedo.
It's
like,
not
like dudes that were like way overweight in Speedos. Like, and
he
put those on the board.
If they were comfortable, though.
I don't think they are.
Well, whatever.
They made you uncomfortable.
No, it was more funny than uncomfortable.
I sent a picture to you. I remember, like, this time last year, so I wasn't officially a contributor to the blog, but a friend of mine went to Key West. And at the southernmost hotel in Key West for, like, ever, there's been the same gentleman there who sits by the pool all day long and wears a Speedo. But it's not just a Speedo. He has suspenders up and over. It looks like he made it himself.
God.
Like, that hold the Speedo in place.
Whoa.
Up and over his shoulders. And but so she sent a picture to me showing that he was still there. And I sent it to you, and I thought Joey would get a kick out of it. All he wrote was, "I can't unsee that." That was the end of it. I was like, alrighty then.
I can't unsee that. That's right.
That's all. Or I wish I could unsee.
What's
that.
More offensive? That what's more kind of a no-no in your mind? A woman that is not so shapely perhaps, that wears a bikini, a tiny bikini, or a dude that's way out of shape wearing a Speedo.
That's a tie.
I think God bless them all for being comfortable in their own skin to wear whatever
jump
they
ball?
Want.
You know, every Toby so says jump often ball. I say to people,
what do you say?
Jump ball. In basketball, yeah. When
it's a toss-up.
It's a toss-up. It depends on
6-1, half dozen the other.
Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, did you look behind yourself? You know, did you take a look behind before you walked out the door?
No,
but everybody can, you know.
Well, I can remember on Martha's Vineyard and the nudist beach and always the people with the least shapely physiques are the most naked.
And look where my eye level is
true.
On a tall
exactly
guy.
True.
I mean, think about my eye level on a tall man. It isn't
Donna.
Pretty.
I can't unsee that now.
Top 10 things you wish you could unsee podcast.
So we're going to talk about some restaurant news. The Foreign Affairs is back open. They opened, I think, this
tomorrow
past,
they opened.
No, they opened on Thursday. They were open for
Valentine's
Day, but then
Valentine's
I think
Day.
They were closed on Sunday and Monday. I saw that on Facebook.
Foreign Affairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were going to reopen. I think Laurie Lufkin put it up, and they were going to reopen Tuesday.
All right. Yeah, but they're back in. Yeah. They're back open. They're not closed for a month at a time now. Looking forward to going there. I was going to see if I could get there for Valentine's Day.
Did you go?
But my Valentine had a big time flu. You know, she's just getting over it. She's had it for like a week. She worked her way through it.
Oh yeah,
and crashed.
We went to Connecticut, and she had to give a speech like in front of this group of a bunch of people, and she had that chills. I mean, total trooper, hard worker. We went to Connecticut. She did 101 fever, and she had planned this, so she didn't want to mess it. And I was going to be able to go with her down to Connecticut. So she made like 10 sales calls a day, 2 days in a row, with 101 degree fever, because she didn't want to do it on her own. You know.
Yeah.
So God bless her for.
She's a mother.
She's a mother and a hard worker. So props to Super K for that. So this Foreign Affairs, Alchemy is. The Alchemy's coming back. It was Pinoli, the guy. Is he gone yet?
Paolo Lobo. It's my understanding he's gone.
Yeah.
It was a combination of issues. I don't know exactly what, but one of these situations that arose was he got contacted back from his people in San Francisco, and
he made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah. Basically, there was somebody either retired or something to that effect, and they needed, and they just said the only person that could do that job would be Paolo. Now, you understand, that's San Francisco, large population, a lot of people traveling through.
He's a two-star Michelin chef. He could pretty much write his ticket.
Well, he was a known quantity to those people. They wanted him.
Right.
So, you know, it wasn't a sleepy little North Shore community trying to support, you know, a big city type of restaurant.
Mercedes wrote a really nice letter on Facebook saying that they, you know, that they loved their time here. They wanted to make being back in her hometown work, and that they love Pinoli. They love the restaurant, but Napa was a better fit for their family and for their needs and, you know, whatnot.
Eh.
If you look at his if you look at this guy's resume in the past, what, 6 or 7 years, there's 4 different places.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There was the place he was at and where it came from. They tried something at Halibut Point. It didn't work out. They went to Pride's Osteria. It didn't work out. They went to Alchemy. It didn't work out. And now he's at a new place in San Francisco.
In Napa, whatever, San Francisco area. You know, they're in an area now which historically can support the kind of dollars being charged. People are not questioning the prices, is my point. I mean, if you go to the French Laundry in Napa, it's going to cost you, if you're lucky enough to be able to get in, all right, it's going to cost you about $800 a head.
That's crazy.
But I'm telling you.
You can say that, but if there's people that are willing to pay it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying, you know, $22 for an appetizer portion of award-winning pesto and house-made pasta,
in the winter, it probably isn't going to fly here.
Right.
But it, but I'm saying people out there are not going to question.
Right.
Without question.
All right. So, you know, this is a good fit. And, you know, I'm happy for Mercedes. I mean, I'm certainly, I mean.
Wish them nothing but the best.
Absolutely.
And wishing, you know, Mark McDonough and their group. There was a lot of people that wrote in, and I was surprised by this because I didn't know that Alchemy had that big of a following. It was almost strange how many people said, wow, I'm so happy that Alchemy is coming back.
I am too.
Did you notice that? I almost felt like it was a kind of a,
I don't know,
like it was like old waiters are writing these in or something.
But when I first moved here, Alchemy's had just opened, and I really liked Alchemy's.
I think they had a burger. It was a Kobe beef burger. It was very expensive, but it was awesome. It was really good.
We do have a lot of good restaurants here.
Of course.
I'm very excited to. I think Tom and I are going to Passports this week.
Nice,
because they're it's so congested on Main Street. I think it's nice to go to our local restaurants.
It's been busy.
They've had business
despite it. They were open yesterday during the storm.
I saw that on the blog.
The two places you can almost be guaranteed will be open is Mike's on Railroad Ave. They're almost always open, regardless of weather. They do deliver and everything, but they never shut down. I don't know why or what the formula is, but they are open regardless of weather. And Passports, Eric, you know, and his crew.
He knows how to run a restaurant.
Right, but I'm saying the crew is enthusiastic. That, as you know, several of them are related, and so it's a family affair.
It's the same. When I go into Passports, I love their lunch there. I love their veggie roll-up, and then you have the next half of for the next day.
Yes.
Just like Kim with her lobster risotto from Duckworth yesterday. Does anybody know what the strategy is for the snow removal downtown? Does anybody, have they said
anything? They're still going back and forth now. I think they're, Safeway Park is full.
Yeah, and
this morning they were doing some removal in the Dale Avenue area and around where the fire station is, and they clearly are opening the roads as best they can for fire safety and to get ambulances through. I'm sure it's all staged. I mean, this road, this hour, this road.
Yeah. You see the trucks are just constantly.
My God, I feel so bad.
Going,
for those
and
businesses.
My street's like this now.
Yeah,
it's almost like my car.
In the same
but
stretch.
You know what? But it's down, fine.
Well, whatever. Yeah, but like for the last week, it's been like one. You can park on one side of the street downtown.
I mean, they finally cleared out Lexington Ave and Magnolia.
Oh my God!
They finally cleared that out yesterday, so they're getting to it.
God bless them. I'm not no criticism.
No, this is
not criticism at all. Just curious if anybody knew what the plan was.
If there's a message,
we saw that they issued that they are now allowing dumping of snow into the harbor. Donna has a problem with that. I think it's ridiculous to have a problem with that.
I think when it melts, it goes there anyway.
No,
it's filtered by the time it gets into the ocean.
The street sweepings are considered hazardous waste because there's petroleum and other things.
But usually
what happens, let's say when they put it up at Stage Fort Park, as it melts, it filters.
But it's a slower melt when they throw it in.
I'm not an expert, but
it's going to change the salt in the water.
If the developed countries throw stuff in their ocean, how can we even begin to criticize the underdeveloped countries for throwing stuff?
Well, we have an emergency here, and it's a way to address the issue.
And I get that, but
for years we've been trying. You know, there's been rules set in place not to dump it in the ocean.
Well, Boston Harbor. Someone was telling me at the boat show how much money they spent to clean Boston Harbor up.
It was extraordinary.
And now you're going to have. And you know me, I'm out there every week cleaning up.
Right.
And what I see that washes up.
Well, public safety is important, and the streets have to get cleared. And if we have no place to farm the snow, which is what they call it.
I think it's really funny.
Snow farms.
We should have a huge empty.
You know what we'll do? I'm going to set this up next week. We'll do a poll on when, like, the snow farm at Stage 4 will be, like, gone.
When it'll be gone.
Yeah, like, what? What's the date? What the date will be?
We created terrain parks for the kids to get their snowboards out and their skis. And
are we done talking about restaurants? I just wanted to say what a fabulous time we had for Valentine's Day at Duckworth. And it wasn't just because the food is so wonderful. Because everybody had been cooped up for so long, it was just this wonderful, like, we walked in and it was packed and it was knee deep at the bar and people were just, you know, nobody minded. Everybody was, the people were staying later, so then the next week of people couldn't sit down. But everybody was just chatting and catching up, and it was just really, really, I feel like living in East Gloucester, we're so blessed to have this place.
And you can walk there, which is really nice.
You know. So
we probably don't talk about Duckworth enough because we just assume that everybody understands how special and awesome a place it is. It really is.
It's class all the way.
We got a bunch. We talk about the same places over and over too much. I don't know.
Can we ask Donna?
So I went on my Valentine's Day. I said to Rick in the morning, I said, you know what I want to do Valentine's Day? I want to go to the boat show. I have so much fun at that boat show.
I love the boat show.
I don't have any desire to buy a boat, even though there was a tri-level boat made in Italy. It was like,
I can see Donna having a boat.
Flying on the deck, yeah. But I'm very happy with my little kayak. But I just think it's the most fun. You get this fantasy thing.
Well, that is it. It's fantasy for a lot of people.
But I don't pine.
It kills me. It kills me to, like, go to those things because I start thinking stupid, like I could ever enjoy it. Because it's the busiest time of my year.
Right.
And I look at these things, I'm like, oh, you know, I could do that. I could afford that.
Oh, yeah. They say, oh, it's just a comp.
You know, when you put all the numbers together and how many times you use it. Really?
Don't they do it in
Beverly, right? Do they have it in Beverly?
Freedom Boat.
They have it in Beverly?
Yeah.
I'm shocked we don't have that here.
No, you do. I mean, well, Freedom Yachts, is it Freedom Yachts?
Yeah.
In Gloucester?
It doesn't matter where you go. Yeah. It's not that they do it in Beverly. It's that if you're a member, you pay your yearly dues, and you tell them. We did it in Nantucket last year. A friend of ours who has a house in Nantucket did it when we were coming down on purpose because he knew we'd all be down there. Or I think that's why he did it. But so if you're a member, you pay your yearly dues, and then you tell them what type of boat you want, what size you want it to be, and where you want it to be, and on what day, and you go and you use it. And they do that thinking that people will use it 4 or 5 times a year, but for the same fee, you can use it 300 times a year. Like, they don't have a limit of, so it's a great way to go.
Wow. Yeah. I think you have to take a Coast Guard class. Yeah. To be part of this, but it's called Freedom.
Where in Gloucester, you could pick it up anywhere. They must have a deal with a certain marina in Gloucester.
Maybe that part I don't know, but I know that, like, I have friends who have done it. Like I said, in Nantucket, who have done it here. We sat at Latitudes one night at the bar next to a couple who was in town on the boat that they were using through Freedom Yachts. So they were somewhere around Latitudes.
We have a client that uses
Portsmouth,
that too.
I know Newburyport, definitely
Boat Club.
Freedom Boat Club. Yeah, right. I'm sorry, not yachts.
They were at the boat show.
I think it's such a no-brainer.
Because there's some of those boats that, one of the boats was $3 million, and I'm thinking, $3 million?
But the deal, you know, too, so if you have friends coming in town and you need a boat that can accommodate 10 people, great. If you want to go for a sail one weekend when you're not normally a sailor, then great, you ask for a sailboat. If you just want to go out with your own family, you know, you get an 18-footer. Like, you mix it up.
I think the best part about it is the fall.
And no maintenance.
The fall when you're done with it, and you don't have to deal with it.
Right.
You don't have to put it in your yard. Yeah. You don't have to find a place for it. You don't have to winterize it. You don't have to.
Boat Club. Yeah. Yeah. Look it up.
You just get it for the day, or you can also get it for the weekend. So it's not like it's yours for the season. It's any day you want. And
it's like renting a hotel.
It goes away at the end of the day.
Do you have to? Do you pay extra for weekends? Or, like, do you get taxed more for that and less for, do you get more time if you take it during the middle of the week? And
I don't know. My understanding was that it was just a membership fee.
Yeah, it's members only.
And, but that the fee was the same regardless of how much you use.
I think we've said that a bunch of times. But I would like to find out more about it.
I will do that.
Yeah. So,
can we just buy, you were talking about snow removal, and I think Mike Hale, the DPW, we'll shout out to him and Mm-hmm. Like he's not gotten probably not a lot of sleep lately, and a really hardworking, mm-hmm. awesome guy.
And his crew, yeah. And no crew, question.
One of the guys came down my Murray. Street the other day, and he looked at me like, we are putting this, because we're on a dead end. We're very tiny. Yeah. And he looked at me like, because I was out, and he looked at me like...
You like you would have the answer.
You might get here for a podcast with the peppermint schnapps.
More than that.
I think they did a great job, and I kudo them all.
Yeah, well...
I don't know if anybody's going to have this because this is a geeky question and this is like right in my wheelhouse. But do any of you guys have smart TVs?
I don't. No. Our friend does down the street.
Okay. Right, I'm not going to talk about the subject I was going to bring up with smart TVs. Like,
can spy on you.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to bring up that part. I was going to talk about I was going to bring up how a lot of people. It's amazing how many people have not ditched traditional cable for streaming services yet. I'm shocked more people haven't. I mean, there's Amazon Prime. Oh, mm-hmm. By the way, I got Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is a no-brainer. Amazon Prime is a no-brainer. You get all those.
You had Chrome before?
I still have Chrome. I have Netflix, I have Hulu, and now I have Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime Video comes with Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And so you can watch Amazon Prime, you get free delivery from Amazon. Yep. You get 5 million songs for free. You can stream them anytime you want. You get access to their movie and video library, and they have a ton of television shows that are great series and stuff, like if you binge watch television shows, and you get that free 2-day shipping. It is, they had a special for it for $78 as opposed to normally it's $99. It is a steal.
So what's the logic in having Hulu and Amazon Prime and we have Netflix.
Yeah, we have Netflix.
I never use it, but the kids use it on their iPads.
You don't use it at all?
I don't. I mean, I...
You know what? There's no House of Cards, down, Eastbound and Down. None of those shows.
No, I definitely watch some shows, but I'm usually able to watch them when they're on between, the kids go to bed at 7:30. I pack lunches from 9 to 11, 9 to midnight. And I'm camped out with my laptop on the couch.
You're
and I usually
awake
can
that
watch
late?
What I. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And if I miss it, I go on demand and watch it. I use on demand for everything.
But cable bills are like $150 bucks.
Yeah, I know. We definitely
but what I'm saying is you get three of these channels for $25.
Yeah,
okay. You get a really wide selection of things. And then if you get the UHF...
Instead of
that's what it would be.
No, to get
Amazon Prime for the whole year is
$78. Okay.
Which includes, but that does a bunch of different things, too.
Which includes 2-day shipping from Amazon.
Which is huge.
Amazon's video and television.
All right, now you have to have an internet connection. So you're paying Comcast... Or who are you paying for your internet?
No, you have to have an internet.
So what does that cost you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I could do some research.
It's a lot cheaper than what you pay for.
I'm saying you don't have cable in addition.
The cable bill for anything more than just even the most basic cable is more money than if you have.
Yeah.
If you buy if you don't have a smart TV, you just have, if you get a Chromecast. Or if you have a smart TV, you don't need Chromecast. You could, it just comes through. You have access to all those things.
But if you had, you're saying it's probably $30 or $40 bucks for. I'm just
for the internet connection, so that you can then do Netflix or something.
So that's your base, and then you get $78 bucks for a year, and all these other things.
If you get just cable, I'm sorry. If you get just internet. And it's $40 a month or something, right? Then each one of these extra services, the most they are is $8 a month. So you can get three of these services
for $25 a month.
Yeah. For $25 a month, right. On top of your, so you're into it for
$60, $70
rather than $150.
Yeah,
but my Comcast bill every month is $235.
Which is, that's,
and I don't even know.
You got, this is what you need to do right now. If your bill is that much, what you need to do is you need to call up Verizon. When you see a flyer from Verizon, you need to call them up and find out and get the best deal you can. then call up Comcast and say, this is what Verizon's offering, I'm leaving you, unless you can match this. They're going to tell you that they can give you a deal that's like a little bit more than that. You say, I'm leaving you, unless you can match this. They will match it.
Yeah, it seems crazy high to me.
But I don't. Kate's at $138 for high-speed cable.
Yeah.
Internet and telephone.
Yeah, that's what we have.
And the telephone.
I have.
That's 138. Yeah. Now I think she has two boxes.
Yeah, we have two boxes. Yeah.
So you're overpaying because you haven't been vigilant enough to renegotiate every 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to renegotiate.
You own a business like we do. We have to have all these other IP addresses that we keep track of. So I don't know how that would that my bill is high because the HBO and all that. Because I just want to
probably when it comes to the internet connection, you probably have a higher speed. You require it that's higher speed than if it was just one or two people at home.
Oh yeah, we have to have all
you
those
need
other
to support.
Things.
Right,
I think he's. Yeah. I think they'd be all right. Are you what? Do you have servers that people are pulling off of those servers?
Yeah, we have servers.
Oh,
okay. We have servers.
So people are pulling the information from there. You don't want that to be slow for them. So that's Eisenstein. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. I think we did have a nice podcast here. Kim, thank you for the truffles. Kim brought her, what do you call those truffles?
Amaretto truffles.
Amaretto truffles.
So, we didn't have the Dr. McGillicuddy's, but we did have the amaretto this morning.
It's all about that.
So, if any of us are not here because we committed suicide with the two next storms, with Tuesday storm and the Thursday storm that we're supposed to get,
psychiatrist will be calling you.
I know, right?
I will for the next couple storms. I will repost the shoveling thing.
Awesome.
If anybody,
that's tremendous.
I think
a good idea.
If I had a couple of kids that age, they'd be out doing something before.
Well,
I can suggest that there are elderly housing projects, things like that. That maybe these kids should get in touch, post their numbers.
I can understand not wanting to post them publicly, but they can send them. They can fill out that form, and for the people that request help, I can send that information so it's not out on the internet, and then people get spam and stuff like that from that kind of stuff. Okay. So there you go, another GloucesterCast in the books.
Stay warm and cozy, Gloucester GMG listeners.
It's awesome. Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Embrace it.